code's kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron. One podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Welcome back.
Was that like the welcome back?
It's welcome back, Potter. Yeah, I don't. Oof, there's a lot of people listening that may not know that reference.
We barely are old enough to know that.
Do you know that reference, Wayne?
Yeah, just barely.
Wayne hanging on to the never really watched by the millennial fingernails painted, obviously, because millennials do that. Well, welcome back. As a month or so off for us, playing you the best of hits. You ever see those bands that have like a best of album?
Yeah.
And you see it and you realize, wait a second, I only know like one song or two songs. And you're thinking, wait.
Does that band get a best of album?
Is the best of album just their album? Like this is whatever one the hit was on? And they just keep playing that? I can't think of.
That's definitely a BMG thing.
It's like, right, yeah. If you're going to get 9 CDs for a penny, one of those is going to be a best of Thompson Twins. Let me tell you, it's going to be at least one of those. So we are back. We're jacked up. Thank you for the time off, listeners. I know it was tough. I hope you enjoyed the...
are you guys okay?
The replays. Right? You had some replays of Mr. Farias. You had Ron Tite. And then you had last week, episode one.
Oh, gosh. I hate episode one.
And I noticed when I recorded the pre-intro before we put that out again was...
I'm pretty sure it's just an intro.
No, because there's an intro in the show, and I recorded something recently.
It's
to
like
go
an
on
intro to the intro.
Yeah, yeah. And I listened to a bit of the episode one.
I can't watch that.
I mentioned this in the intro of the intro, was that you could tell how much I loved hearing myself, right? Because we had the headphones. Like, we don't wear the headphones now. And back then, I'm just like, damn, how good my voice sounds. And so I'm like doing this into the microphone. And I'm really kind of keeping it low, but also hanging on some of the words. Wow. How full of myself was I then? And how full of myself am I now?
Well, you think it's like lessened?
No.
No, I don't think I was going to say. I'm not sure.
No.
I'm not sure that that's the direction we've moved in.
I think it's greatly increased, yet I am not as enamored with my own voice now.
I think I've just taken up more of the property share. Like, I think right. I've just moved more in, so you've been forced to
speak less. You had the shed before, the she shed on
the
show.
Backyard.
The she shed show.
Yeah,
and then now, you have the house.
Yeah, and I've taken all your clothes out of the dressers. Mm-hmm. I've moved my stuff in. I got the closet. Yep. You're living out of a suitcase, basically.
Yep, and that's kind of the way it should be. On the Back to School show episode.
I should have picked Back to School themed stories.
I don't know. That would have been logical.
I don't know if I did that. Well, maybe. We could probably make it work. We could spin some sort of very thin thread between these stories.
We're going to cover millennials killing a condiment. Walmart getting into the movie business. Something about cat poop. You betcha. When a company asks you to get tattoos and they think nobody's going to do it, what happens next? Stay tuned for that. And donating your vacation time so somebody can have time off with their baby. What does that all mean? All that and nothing more on the Unpodcast. We are so excited to be back. We're so excited to have you. I just got back from Frankfurt in Germany, as opposed to Frankfurt, Idaho.
I don't think there's a lot of Frankfurts. No.
So I was doing a gig there, and somebody came up at the book signing and is like, I am one of the seven.
There you go.
One of our listeners in Germany came up. I'm like, it's so good.
It's fantastic.
So you all who are one of our seven around the world, thank you for listening.
I do think that should be our next mug. Like, we did the Jackass Whisperer mug last year. We can say last year, right? Mm-hmm. Last school year. So maybe this year we should do a one of the seven.
I left the guy's card upstairs, and I'll have to go grab it before the next show to point him out. Because when we were in Dallas... for the National Speaker Association event, where one person in this room got inducted into the Hall of Fame of speaking. I don't name names at this point. Thank you. But a guy came up to us, to me in the hallway, and said, hey, I don't mean to, you know, interrupt you in something, but I'm one of the seven. And I said, you know, that's the greatest thing we've done for the show, I think, as a community thing, was give this tag, which was I'm one of the seven.
People say it all the time.
Everybody who comes up about the show, that's their intro.
Yeah, almost every time.
And I told him, we really need to put that on a shirt. And he said, I did. And then went to his hotel room and came back down with a shirt of one of the seven unpodcast on it. One for Allison, one for myself, and one that he has now. So we have the shirts. I've got to grab his name for the next show. I think
it's the one of the seven. And Allison, you really are the funny one.
Was that the two things people say?
I feel
say?
Good about that.
I don't like where this season's going.
Affirmation.
This entire season's off the rails already. We got renewed, you know, so we need to keep going. So let's jump in. First thing I want to point out before we get into the hard-hitting news that we always do, you know, our listeners may know, maybe not. It'd be weird if they did, that we love documentaries. We've seen hundreds of them, watch them all the time on flights. And one of our friends, Brett Culp, is actually a director of documentaries. He's made three. Fanarchy, it's Fan Film Revolution, Legends of the Night, and Look to the Sky. Legends of the Night and Look to the Sky are the two ones I've watched. And I just recently finished watching Look to the Sky. And I'll give you the little paragraph description of it.
Yeah, tell me what it was about. I didn't watch it.
Uplifting stories of young people who have demonstrated the iconic spirit of Superman by becoming real-life superheroes when facing life-threatening situations, homelessness, physical challenges, and loss. It was phenomenal. I loved it. I love the style of it. I love the movie. I love everything about it.
Oh, I have to watch it this week.
And it made me cry. So
On the plane.
By myself. It came out last year, so I would go grab it. It was. It's on iTunes. It was on. It might still be on Netflix, but do me a favor and buy it. You know, I'm sure it helps him out. Brett is a wonderful guy. He's too good of a guy to be our friend, and he's a great director. And the great thing about Legends of the Night, which is actually a story about you know, Batman, but of kids, this guy who drives around in the Batmobile and goes to visit sick kids in the hospital. Like, there's all these inspiration. They're both very inspirational documentaries, and both very different, though. Legends of the Night is a very documentary classic style, and then Look to the Sky, Brett is actually in it as the director,
cool.
Interviewing and being a part of it. So
cool.
I talked to him about that. So hopefully one of these days we'll have him on the show. But this project we believe in, we'd love you to get behind, so give it a shot. So, on with the show. This is the headline from PhillyMag.com, home of the Super Bowl champs. This is how millennials killed mayonnaise.
I thought mayonnaise was ruined. I tasted some yesterday. I knew something had changed. So it was millennials that did it?
Yeah.
Did they, like, change the recipe, or...?
Yeah, so I'm not going to read you this... article at all. It's a ridiculous piece.
I'm not going to read you this article.
It's
at
a personal
all.
Piece from somebody just getting upset because nobody liked her potato salad and how it's.
Okay.
At the end of the day, this is just adding on to the 53rd thing that is being blamed on millennials, that mayonnaise, and I'm a mayo fan. I'm a fan of the white sauces.
I like mayonnaise.
I'm a fan of the white sauces, of the tartars, of the ranches,
the whole group of
the
white
mayos.
Sauces.
I'm of the tzatziki. Horsey sauce, garlicky sauce.
I don't know what horsey sauce is.
Yeah, you got to ride that train. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of these sauces. I have no problem with them. I enjoy a good mayo.
And you don't feel like millennials have ruined them?
I just feel that.
I just don't even know how that's possible.
The fact is that we look for blame. The difference today is there's so much more choice in product. There's so much more ways to get product. And we need somebody to blame when we think our product is no longer there. We're blaming them for... generic mass-produced beer sales going downward. I'm like, no. The marketplace has changed. The world has changed. And you can't blame mayonnaise, which is, if you break it down, is a terrible product in general, what it's made of and what it is. And what it's, you just, you know.
But it's
just
delicious.
You're scooping lard on everything. And it's just another thing. Of course, this thing just blew up. And that's what they want. That's what Philly Mag wants. But that was the... This writer wants, but really, at the end of the day, there's really no data on it at all. It's backing it up.
Are they
up.
Just saying that millennials don't want to eat it because it's not healthy or
no,
something?
No,
like
just
that?
They're not eating it because there's just other choices, I think, too, right? There's artisan,
bespoke,
handcrafted, small batch mayonnaise, you know, served in mayotoriums. I don't know where you serve these things, but I would go to a small batch mayo deli. Or diner, all in. Yeah, I'd be all for that one. So just to add it to the list, folks, to enjoy the changing of the leaves in the fall and how this is all ridiculous.
Well, I'm pretty sure that millennials haven't ruined pizza, but this story, well, the story is from thetakeout.com, which I did not know was a website. And now I must simply go and read all the stories on thetakeout.com. So it says, and I think we talked about this a while ago, but it says Domino's ends lifetime free pizza promotion after too many people get tattoos. It seemed like a good deal offered by Domino's Pizza Russia. Get a tattoo of the company logo and Domino's would give you free pizza for life. Specifically, says Business Insider, Domino's often offered 100 years of 100 free pizzas to Russians who tattooed the company's logo on their body and shared an image on social media.
So that's 100 pizzas a year for 100 years, not 100 pizzas for over 100 years. I was confused. Yeah. I confirmed.
So you can for 100 years, you can order 100 pizzas a year.
That's two pizzas a week, pretty much, folks. That's math.
Okay, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And most people don't live longer than 100 years. So like, and I'm pretty sure if you eat two pizzas a week.
I'm pretty sure if you tattoo a baby.
You're probably not going to get there. Yeah. You're not going to get there. So it says, apparently. Oh, that's
one
true.
Year
old. I guess you're not starting out in infancy with this tattoo.
It's mostly 45-year-old men.
Okay. So like, they've got like 50 years figure of two pizzas a week. It says,
let's just say your life expectancy. If you're jonesing for two pizzas
even,
a week
and
you're willing to deface
that.
Your body, your BMI isn't at optimal range.
I'm guessing though that this peaks in 20s, right?
Like I mean, mid 60s, you're gonna last still.
I haven't seen the data, but I'm assuming most of the people that got these tattoos were between the ages of 15 and 30, like probably not a lot older or younger than that. So apparently this was too good of a deal. The promo kicked off on August 31st, but Domino's has already had to call it off since too many people got tattoos for the company to be able to fulfill all the pizza promises. It says Russian social media flooded with images of the Domino's logo tattooed on fans' legs, arms, and elsewhere as people tried to join the promotion. Instead, the free pizzas will go on to the first 350 pizza lovers tattooed. The promotion was originally supposed to last 2 months. I just want to say, can you imagine how mad the 351st person is that got the Domino's tattoo and then didn't get the pizza? So it's bad enough that you would get a Domino's pizza tattoo, but to get the tattoo and then not get the pizza seems especially egregious. The company posted an update yesterday urging people who had the tattoo appointments not to go through with them. Oh, that's funny. It says, if all 350 qualified participants pick up 100 pies for a year, let's say 50 years, it says, or literally half of what they're guaranteed, Domino's is still on the hook for literally $14 million of free pizza over the next half a century. That can't be good for their bottom line. So maybe they didn't think this one through? Is that where this goes? The maybe you should have thought that one through file?
I'm just trying to estimate the actual lifespan of somebody after getting that. Because I'm thinking, I'm skewing older. I think you underestimate the urge of free pizza for 45-year-olds.
Would you do this?
Is there
a tattoo on you that I haven't seen?
Yeah, I got a Shake Shack one on my arse and a Waffle House one on my thigh. They didn't even offer anything free, by the way. I just got them.
I just love
the brand.
I think it's hysterical.
Yeah, lawsuits pending for this one. Fantastic.
Speaking of cat poop. Oh, sorry. We weren't talking about cat poop at all. That was a really bad segue. I think I'm rusty, you know, because we haven't been here in so long.
Do I have to disclose that Domino's is a client?
Domino's Russia isn't a client.
I just spoke at their worldwide rally a few months ago as a thing. So
I wonder if the Russian people, maybe you
that?
Gave them the idea.
Could have.
Did you say something about sharing pictures on social
Vegas,
media?
It's hazy. I don't know.
All right, well, we should probably move on before they come and get you and make you make pizzas for people for the next 100 years.
And just as a disclaimer that cat poop is not my client. So we're good. Go ahead.
Are you sure? Because I clean up a lot of cat poop around
I do pro bono for cat poop.
I don't know why I like this story. It just made me laugh. It says there's a parasite in cat poop that could be reducing our fear of failure, which may be why we're both entrepreneurs because we have cats. I don't know. It says toxoplasma found in cat feces makes mice unafraid of cats, and it could give people the courage to start their own businesses. Wayne, do you have a cat?
No.
All right.
Been playing within cat feces?
Perhaps we should be polling. Maybe we should be polling our audience of entrepreneurs and see how many of them have cats. A new study links the parasite found in cat feces to entrepreneurship. Says,
oh my God.
A mind-controlling parasite found in cat feces may give people the courage they need to become entrepreneurs, research reported on Tuesday. They found that people who've been infected with Toxoplasma gondii parasite are more likely to major in business and to have started their own businesses than non-affected people. The parasite Can I just draw another comparison? Is it possible, because we talk about entrepreneurship quite a bit, we're just going to talk about two stereotypes of people with cats and people who start who are entrepreneurs. Is it possible that it's more about the fact that entrepreneurs tend to hate people and people who have cats tend to also hate people?
Let's go with that.
This is very strange. It says that it's been linked to a greater risk of car accidents, mental illness, neuroticism, drug abuse, and suicide, it says. It might be affecting message-carrying chemicals in the brain called neurotransmitters or hormones such as testosterone, they wrote. This is kind of crazy.
I love this. This is the headline near the end of the article, which says, cat poop parasites may pose public health hazard. Mind control parasites and poop may control. Yes. Yes.
Because you're not supposed to, like, one of the things with having cats is you're not supposed to, like, kids aren't supposed to change the litter. Pregnant women aren't supposed to change the litter. Like, I knew there was a parasite.
I just think that we are so starving for content.
Yeah. This is really the starving for content that episode.
We have to take something that inhibited mice from being scared of cats to you may be an entrepreneur. Like, how badly?
I'm surprised they didn't say millennials ruin this as
right.
well.
Right, millennials are having mind-melting parasites.
They wasted their time studying this.
Right.
Scientists.
But it took a study, which was legit, and then said, so that study means you could be an entrepreneur. Like, you could have said you like to cliff dive, you like to do this, but it's entrepreneurs.
I guarantee you it is the hating of people. I guarantee you if you did the diagram that has like the entrepreneurs, people who own cats and people who hate people. It's just a big circle.
Do entrepreneurs hate people? Is that why entrepreneurs start companies?
Well, I'm not, as a group, I think a lot of entrepreneurs dislike people.
Do they dislike people or they dislike working for people?
Well, but there's got to be a connection.
There's
there.
A significant difference. Out of our seven listeners, are you guessing the majority of them, entrepreneur wise, don't like people?
They don't want to work with them. They'd much rather work at home with their cat. And then we understand that why they have this problem with cat poop.
Full circle. Wow. Woo. That was a lot of work. All right. QZ or QZ, depending on where you are, says Walmart is reportedly planning a video streaming service to compete with Netflix and Amazon because we need another one. Walmart is battling Amazon in online retail, groceries, and urban home delivery. It may now be opening up another front in its war video streaming. I kind of gave
is
that away.
Is Walmart really warring Amazon and home delivery?
Yeah.
Is it just not here? Because we don't really... I wouldn't even think about ordering something from Walmart delivered.
They bought Jet.com, and that's one of the reasons they bought them.
That's what they're getting into.
Walmart, the world's biggest company by revenue, is considering building its own Netflix-like service to compete directly with Amazon Prime, as well as Netflix, Hulu, AT&T's audience. What the hell is that? I never even heard of that. And impending products from Disney and Apple. Walmart already owns Vudu, a video on demand platform for Hollywood movies and TV, as opposed to what? Like Cleveland movie? I don't know. But it's reportedly contemplating developing its own programming and offering it for less than $8, undercutting Netflix and Amazon. Why need 7-minute abs when you can have 6-minute abs? Walmart is interested in pitching shows to viewers in middle America whom Walmart believes aren't being served by the incumbent services and their focus on coastal audiences, according to the information. Walmart didn't immediately respond to requests for a comment. Original programming is expensive, but Walmart isn't afraid to spend money to ensure it remains competitive with Amazon. Recent years, it bought online retailer Jet.com for $3.3 billion, snatched up smaller sites like Bonobos and ModCloth, and spent $16 billion to buy Indian e-commerce site Flipkart, outbidding Amazon. You can only have so many. It's like streaming music.
Yeah, that's right? What I was going to say.
Like, you can only have so many.
And there's a tipping point after which it's very hard to compete with the others because all that music is there. You're not like every once in a while we will put every time we've added a new service, it's because like a certain show isn't available somewhere else. So we wanted to watch The Handmaid's Tale for our example, so we had to add a service. Or, you know, I like some of the HBO shows. We couldn't get them one way, so we added a service. And I think that has to be a really special show. Like, that's not sort of the cheapest possibly produced shows and we're going to get people into our service. And I just think Amazon is so saturated in that space. That's going to be very hard. Even though they're Walmart, I realize they're not a small company, but it just seems strange.
But the streaming world, and I didn't realize, was it, I think I had to look it up, but it wasn't Netflix that was leading in streaming of movies or something. It was a ridiculous stat. I'll look it up, but it was something about Amazon. But we use Prime Video.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
iTunes to watch the movies we've bought or rent. It all depends. And now with Apple TV that we use in the house, we search for a movie and it tells us which platform.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Right? Like, that's a new thing that
we have. And then we have Crave TV as well, which gives us a lot of the HBO shows in Canada. So it's just like there's a certain point. But we are at a crossroads in streaming, both in music and in video. Because with Disney, if they're going to come out with what they're saying they're going to come out with, you lose. Here's the thing. They're going to come out, if they come out softly, which is they still allow parallel streaming, so they'll allow Netflix to still stream this,
iTunes
stream that.
They're going to take all their content back?
Once if they take their content back and say, look, if you want, and it's not Disney movie, we're not talking about Snow White.
No, Marvel.
We're talking about Marvel. Yeah. We're talking Star Wars.
Yeah.
We're talking all these properties, which is the biggest movies there are right now. And streaming can't survive on the long tail. They can't survive on the smaller titles that some people watch, right? You need huge numbers to make this stuff work. It caught, like they were saying, it costs them. But Disney's, here's it makes sense for them because they are already the studio. And the studio with the biggest land grab out of all of them. Netflix was, you know, first to market with the original content. But we just started watching Jack Ryan series on Prime. And so that you're very platform dependent based on how good the quality of the content is. Now you see the Emmys, right? The Globes have Netflix's in there, Amazon's in there. So you can see it can be done, but how far can you go with it? And then the music side too. Spotify is being real sneaky right now. Spotify is starting to go around labels and sign artists directly. And Spotify is directly telling labels, no, we're not going after your artists. We're going after the artists you didn't sign.
Yeah.
Because you know what's better than giving labels most of the royalties is keeping them, right? So that's when you are in this world of disruption that we've been in for years now, to see we're at one of those crossroads of disruption is really cool to see where it's going to go and scary for the industry itself. But we're at that with like content's no longer consumed based on one platform. You know, so Spotify has a strong arm, but Apple Music paid is equal now in the States than it is to Spotify. It's almost like what's most convenient and what offers the most of what I want. I can't get all the albums on Spotify, but I don't use that. We don't subscribe to Apple Music. But if our home was connected with the Apple HomePod and this, or it's going to be Alexa, then it's going to what works best with that.
Yeah, Jacob has the Apple one.
Right.
He pays for that and because he really likes it. Yeah.
So that's where, where do we go with that? Do we subscribe to Disney's ones now? Will you take what you can get? Like, is it a browsing thing where we just look what Prime is showing or Netflix is showing? Or is it a specific movie and realize they don't have it? So I find it fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting to see how it's going to play out.
Right. And it's the race to the $8 a month or $7.50 a month or the $9 a month or wherever they're going to go. A part of the industry that didn't exist just a few years ago. It's, you know, it's incredible and worth billions. And two of those companies are worth a trillion now, right? Amazon and Apple, both, you know, first to the $1 trillion mark of these digital companies based on things that didn't exist.
It's crazy. It's
fascinating.
Do we have time for our vacation time story?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is from, it looks like it's from Good Morning America. I'm not sure. Yeah, goodmorningamerica.com. It says, donating vacation time to new moms is a trendy coworker baby shower gift. It says, forget the traditional office pool to buy a coworker who is expecting a baby a car seat or a stroller. The new trend is to give a pregnant coworker some of your own vacation time to add days to her maternity leave. It's interesting. I know the rules are different in the States, so I mean, they're definitely saying women. I know it's a little bit different. Like in Canada, you get paternity leave.
Yep, yep.
And moms and dads can take it. And I'm not sure if we're allowed to gift time like this. So it's interesting. It says, Angela Hughes of Kansas City, Missouri, was less than a year into her job at the registrar's office for a private college when her daughter was born 2 months early. Hughes did not qualify for any paid maternity leave because she was so new at her job. She said she never took a day off during her entire pregnancy so she could save as much vacation time as possible after the baby was born. Her boss, sensing her stress, donated 80 hours of her own paid time to Hughes through a policy at the college, allowing the practice. More coworkers followed suit, and in the end, Hughes had 8 weeks of paid maternity leave, almost all of which was donated by coworkers. So what do you think about this?
So it's not government-based. That's private-based. So it's going to be company-based.
It's based on the policy of the company.
The company simply says you can do this, of course, if you want to. See, my problem here is it's gonna get political. I think it's disgusting.
It lets the company off the hook.
It lets the government off the hook and the company off the hook. Where it's a good, I love seeing this, but it's just like seeing the GoFundMes raising money for somebody to pay for their insulin.
Their insanely expensive insulin,
right? Exactly. So this is where I get into trouble, and we certainly try to stay out of the political side on the show. But it's a wonderful story of people giving to each other so they can take time off for their baby. And she has 8 weeks off now, paid, which is wonderful.
She should
get
the time off and still get the stroller or the car seat from her coworker.
That is it. That's the difference there. Where it's a wonderful story and terrible. That somebody giving birth, you know, has to be able to, get time off from other people.
The article goes on to say that this one, another woman who works for the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. So she works for a government department of health and human services, had the same thing happen. They made a policy where people could donate time. And so she was donated time after having a C-section.
Yeah. I want to give you one of my vacation days and me and a bunch of coworkers each donate a day so you can have an extra long honeymoon, awesome. You know, let's do that, right? That's fine. But this is fundamental health.
It also leaves those people without it. Like, maybe they aren't expecting a baby, so like they're not, you know, imminently. But what if they got sick the next week and then they just gave 2 weeks of their a week of their time to this other person? Now they have nothing. Like, that's,
they should not be subsidizing your care. But that's
a
whole other issue.
And they make it out like it's such a great thing in this article. They're like, it's improving work-life balance for women. Like, no, what improves work-life balance for parents is proper paid
is reasonable paternity leave. Reasonable leave. You know, we are also lucky to live in a country that ranks near the top in Canada of maternity and parental leave, where 16 weeks is maternity leave for the mother, and then 36 weeks are for the either parent or both combined, or one could take the whole thing at up to 55% off on their salary, and then some of the companies top that up. It's just changed up to 2 years now when it comes to protected leave, not paid leave, but protected, meaning you can leave and your job has to be there, or one comparable to it when you come back. It's just upsetting to me that when I read
the United States is the only country among 41 industrialized nations that does not mandate paid maternity leave.
Yep. Exactly.
It's an embarrassing statistic.
All right. Let's hook it on to the first of the season made up word.
Don't make any sense. Don't mean no offense. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness?
All right. I think that...
Go lower. Yeah, the one you mentioned before.
Okay. Let's go with Amazonnesia.
Amazonnesia.
Wayne, do you want to guess what Amazonnesia is?
When a bunch of
it's not caused by cat poop.
When a bunch of stuff shows up at your door and you don't remember buying it.
That is absolutely correct. And it is linked to millennials and cat poop.
Right. That's exactly how it works. That's from Jake Hales, who submitted it. Thank you for that on Twitter. If you have a made-up word yourself, you find one that makes you say, what? Send it to us either on Twitter, at unmarketing, at unallison, or on the website, or whatever way you can do and find us. If we pick your word, just like Jake's today, we will send you a copy of any one of our 5 books. You take your pick, we'll send it over to you, or any book you want, but preferably ours. And if we pick your word on the show, we will send you one of those. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Wayne. It's good seeing you again.
I feel like I was a little rusty today. Like, I think I have some cobwebs to shake off before our next episode.
You evidently have not listened to episode one of the
of hey. Us two.
Yeah.
Hi-yo. Well, that wasn't cobwebs. That was just rust.
It was a really good episode. And I sound really good in episode one. Thanks all.
Talk Bye, guys.
Next week.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.